one of you fight me! Israel has found a champion! Don't waste my time, little boy. You're too young to die.
I will fight you!
How many of you have been watching the Bible series on Sunday nights? Isn't that an incredible series? Thank God. What a great gift that we have accessible to us to be able to see literally the Bible from Genesis, and they're taking it all the way through Revelation right before our very own eyes, bringing to life some of the greatest Bible stories and really the true message of God's Word to each of us, unlike we've ever seen it before. I hope you'll tune in tonight. It's at 8 o'clock there on the History Channel. Today, in light of what you just got through seeing there on that screen, I want to really talk to you for a few moments about turning limitations into opportunities. In fact, if you have your notes, go ahead and pull them out. I just want to begin by asking you a couple of quick questions. First of all, what do you see? Do you see limitation in your life, or do you see opportunity in your life? Another question, what do you think? Do you think limitation before you think opportunity? What is it that limits your life? You see, opportunity versus limitation. And for us, we have to ask the question, which of those two comes first for us? In David's life, he was a person of opportunity. Now, we're going to look at really the heart of who David was and really what set him apart and what propelled him to accomplish great things for his Lord. I want to invite you, if you will, to open up to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And, of course, the verses will be on the screens for you. But let me just kind of dive into the heart of what is taking place. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, looking at verse 8, it says this, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. In other words, I dare you. I dare you. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. I want you to picture this in your mind for just a moment. Imagine the scene. Imagine two opposing forces standing across from one another. You have this huge army known as the Philistine army, represented by this behemoth giant by the name of Goliath. And then over here, you have the Israelite army. And here, each and every day, for 40 consecutive days, in fact, twice a day, morning and evening, they had this standoff, and Goliath would, day after day, twice a day, just talk trash to the Philistine army. He was ridiculing them and mocking them and challenging them. And basically, he was defying them and defying their God. And the Bible says that the Israelite army were terrified and they ran away. You know what's interesting about that is that what's crazy is that instead of trusting the Lord, speaking of the Philistine army, instead of trusting the Lord to empower them to conquer Goliath and to conquer the Philistine army and to move forward and advance in faith to fulfill the greater purposes of God, instead of seeing an opportunity, they saw a limitation. And because they saw a limitation, they were paralyzed by fear. And they ran. You know, for some of you here today, maybe you can relate, because maybe you are at a place where you see limitation. Maybe you feel limited by your circumstances right now. And I realize that for many of us here today, you're in different situations and circumstances and seasons and stages in life. But maybe you're in a situation, or maybe you're facing some circumstances where you feel limited by your finances. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're at a season or maybe a stage as a young parent and you have small children, and maybe you feel limited or maybe even tied down when it comes to maybe the freedom that you used to have. Your world revolves around those precious children, and that's a wonderful season, but at the same time, sometimes it can maybe make you feel limited by the things that you can or can't do. Others of you, maybe you're at a stage or season in your life where you see yourself as maybe somewhat immature, or maybe not old enough to be able to do some of the things that you are wanting to do. Maybe you're on the opposite end of that pendulum. You're at a season in your life where you think, as far as you're concerned, your best days are behind you. Maybe you feel limited about what you have to offer related to your future. And when you think about limitation, the problem with limitation, to be honest with you, the real danger of having a mindset of limitation is that it puts yourself in a self-imposed prison. You feel paralyzed by fear. And because you have this mindset of limitation, it causes you to feel timid. It causes you at times to maybe be more conservative than maybe you have been in the past. Why? Because you are paralyzed by the limitations in your life. What's interesting about this whole concept of limitation, in fact, the definition, Webster's defines a limitation by this. It says, to the ultimate extent, as far as you can go. You ever thought about that before? You ever thought to yourself, man, I've kind of taken my business as far as it can go. I've kind of taken my career about as far as it can go. As far as my education, I feel like I've kind of taken as far as I can go. I've kind of reached the maximum extent of what I can do. Maybe as a family, you think, you know, we've kind of gone as far as we can go financially, or we've kind of gone as far as we can go with where we live and the house that we have, or this or that. And so what happens is we begin to put lids and limitations upon our lives. But the opposite is opportunity. And here's what Webster's defines opportunity as: favorable circumstances or a favorable condition. Do you see your life surrounded by favorable conditions? Do you see everywhere you turn favorable opportunities, favorable circumstances, favorable conditions that are positioning you for greater things to come? Well, today I want to dare you to take off the limitations in your life, and I dare you to begin seeing things from a different perspective and begin to see things from God's perspective and begin to see yourself as God sees you, as a person who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could think or even imagine. And so today what I want to do is I want to challenge you to think like David thought. Because there's some things that we can learn from David's life that I think would be very helpful for all of us to not only learn, but most importantly, apply. And here's how we can turn limitations into opportunities. No matter what the situation or circumstances are that you're currently facing in your life, no matter how big the giant may be, because the challenge is focusing on the limitation rather than focusing on how big our God is and what our God can do to overcome the limitations in our lives. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, if you take notes, we have to have an opportunity mindset. The scripture teaches us in this great story in 1 Samuel 17, picking it up back in verse 21, it says, "Soon the Israelite and the Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. Well, David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers." Now, let me pause here for just a moment and just kind of bring you into the scenario of what has taken place. Because David, if you can remember, he was a young boy. He was just a shepherd. He was one who was tending to the flock there in the field, and he was basically doing what his father had asked him to do, fulfilling the responsibilities of taking care and being the primary caretaker of the pasture and the sheep and the cattle, I'm sure. And so his older brothers, in fact, he was the youngest of eight. And so his older brothers were in a position, in a season in their life where they were involved and engaged in the army. They were a part of the Israelite army and a part of this tremendous battle that was getting ready to take down. And so David's father, Jesse, had asked David to basically run an errand and to go and take some food and some things, some supplies, down to his brothers to see how things were going. But ultimately, he wanted him to bring back a report to him. So David was not only taking care of his father's pasture and tending to his flock, but at the same time, he was a servant of the king, King Saul. So we pick it back up. As he was talking with them, there in verse 24, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. And as soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. You see, the Israelite army had a mindset of limitation. And because they had a mindset of limitation, they couldn't see the opportunity that was directly in front of them. As a matter of fact, the reason why they couldn't see the opportunity in front of them is because they were limited by the size of the giant. And rather than focusing on how big their God was, they were fixated on how big the giant was. And as a result, they were timid. As a result, they didn't want to take a risk. As a result, they were paralyzed by fear. And as a result, they ran. Why? Because they had a mindset of limitation. On the other hand, David had a mindset of opportunity. Rather than focusing on how big the giant was, all David could see, he is seeing with a fresh set of eyes, with a completely different perspective, and he's saying, wow, what an opportunity. I mean, we can take this guy out. Are y'all afraid of him? Man, we can do this. And I really believe deep down in his heart, he was able to see something that they were unable to see because he saw things from a different perspective. He knew who his God was. He knew what his people were capable of. And he was thinking to himself, man alive, you guys are missing it. Man, if God is for us, who in the world can come against us? Man, we can take this guy. But so often, we're all guilty of this. We see the size of our limitations and it paralyzes us. I love what Winston Churchill once said. He said, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Think about that. You know, we live in a world today where we are surrounded by opportunity. We live in perhaps the most exciting time in all of human history. We are surrounded by unique opportunities, and there are possibilities for us right now in our generation, in this moment, in this time, in this era of history, unlike any other time. Really, the question is, how do we perceive it? Because even though we're in the midst of all these amazing opportunities, so often people don't see it. Why? Because they see nothing but limitation. And the reason why so many people can't see the forest for all the trees is because they're blinded to the opportunities, because they're just surrounded, or they have surrounded themselves with limitations. And what I've learned is that people who have a mindset of limitation like to hang out with other people who have a mindset of limitation. And you know what people who have a mindset of limitation like to do? They like to sit around and wait for the opportunity of a lifetime rather than live a lifetime of opportunity. Ooh, that's good. You ought to write that down. You ought to tweet that to some friends. Rather than sit around and wait for the opportunity of a lifetime, we need to live a lifetime of opportunity. Send. Click. You know, what's interesting is that Jesus one day had just changed a woman's life and her destiny. He met her at the well one day, and she was going to this place of familiarity, a place where she would go and get water and to help satisfy and quench the physical thirst in her life, but it would never really satisfy. There was always that desire and that always that need to have that need met in her life, and really what she was longing for more than anything was to have that need met in an ongoing way, but she just didn't know how to get that need met. And one day she encountered Jesus, and Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you living water, and this living water will satisfy and quench your thirst forever. And he forgave her, and he knew exactly what was in her heart and where she had been and what she had done and what she was guilty of. And he gave her a second chance and gave her hope and met a need that only God can meet in her life. And she walked away changed. And as she ran back to her village and told everybody about this man that just changed her life, the disciples showed up, kind of a day late, dollar short, showed up on the scene, and they were kind of just having this mindset of limitation, and they were thinking, man, the sun's going down, and we're all hungry, and, you know, Jesus, I think McDonald's getting ready to close, Chick-fil-A, you know, they're closed on Sunday. We need to find some food, and Jesus is saying, guys, you just missed an unbelievable opportunity. Because they saw limitation, and here's what Jesus said. He said, you know, John 4:35, he said, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around, and the fields are already ripe for harvest. He said, man, I don't need McDonald's. I don't need Chick-fil-A. Even though I love Chick-fil-A, I don't need it. You know why? Because I've just been satisfied. I've just been engaged in ministry. Man, I've just seen life change. I just took advantage of an opportunity that helped change the course of a young woman's destiny. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I just want to be a person who has an opportunity mindset. I don't want to be a person that has limitations and these self-imposed doubts and pessimism and live life conservative and timid and, you know, I don't know, or, you know, I don't believe, or I don't think. No, man, I don't want to be a I can't person. I want to be a can-do person. Man, let's be favor-minded. Let's be opportunity-minded people, an opportunity-minded church, a favor-minded church, a can-do church that believes that with God, all things are possible. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. Me and you are on the same page. The other ones, I guess they haven't figured it out yet. We're working on them, all right? Listen, David, he had a mindset of opportunity. And I believe that God, more than anything, wants you to have a mindset of opportunity where you understand the promise, man, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Listen, no ear has heard, no mind has seen what great things that God has in store for those who love him. The second thing we learn about David is that he stayed motivated with the cause. If we pick it back up there in verse 25 in 1 Samuel 17. And here's what's interesting is the form of a question. Have you seen the giant that people are asking? Have you seen the giant? He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife. Man, if you are a single man in the army, what a deal. You get one of the king's daughters as a wife. And not only that, the man's entire family would be exempted from paying taxes. What a deal. Hallelujah. What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Well, who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? These men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. So David walks in the situation. He has his opportunity mindset. He sees the situation and he's thinking to himself, are you kidding me? Man, what an opportunity. And King Saul couldn't seem to motivate or persuade or inspire or challenge his men great enough. So he gave them a temporal motivation, a temporal reward. He said, look, I'll give you one of my daughters in marriage. Man, you'll have riches and man, you won't have to pay any more taxes. You would have thought that would have been enough to have motivated some guys to go take down this giant. But again, they were paralyzed by the limitation in their life. They were focused on how big the obstacle and the limitation of this giant. And so as a result of that, no human motivation, no human earthly temporal reward was good enough or big enough to challenge these guys to go take him out. But David, he wasn't necessarily motivated by the temporal reward. He was motivated by something far deeper and something far greater, and that was an eternal reward, because he stood there and he listened to this man taunt and defy the Lord his God, and he said, this is not right. I'll take him. And he was motivated by a cause that drove him with a passion and a conviction and a confidence to do what he knew he couldn't do himself. But he knew, man, if God is for me, then who in the world could ever be against me? And he was driven by deep conviction to do what was right. You know, I just think that as believers in Christ, we ought to live that way. We ought to live our lives with not only an opportunity mindset, but man, we ought to live our lives just being motivated to take full advantage of the opportunities that are all around us. Because life's too short to miss it. Life, man, it's just too short to allow opportunities to slip through our hands to make an eternal difference in the lives of people. Think about that. Why spend so much time and needless energy and money and chasing after all the temporal stuff and spending all of our time here and there chasing this and doing that? Not that life can't be fun. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is that why do we substitute all of those things for the greater things, the deeper things, the eternal causes and purposes of our Lord? Why not allow our lives to be more focused and to be motivated by the opportunity to impact our children for the glory of God, to raise up families to be a light in a darkened world, to make a difference in our career and use our job and use our career as a platform to make the name of Jesus famous? Why in the world can't we take advantage and leverage the opportunities to make an impact on our public schools or in our schools or where we attend on our university campus so that we could let thousands and yet even millions of college students across America know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Jesus Christ can offer a life that's worth living for. And he brings hope and he brings forgiveness and he brings new beginnings and he gives us the eternal security of spending forever in heaven. Man, why not be motivated by the greater cause than the temporal things that life has to offer? You can't compete, you can't compare. David was motivated by this incredible, incredible passion and cause to honor his Lord and to fight the good fight of faith, to advance the army and to advance the purposes of God, because he knew that was God's greater purpose, was to take the land that God had promised them. You know, I've been thinking, and we as a church staff have been praying and thinking and talking and strategizing and planning about what's getting ready to happen here in a couple of weeks. And as Chad just emphasized a few moments ago, I mean, just in a couple of weeks, March 31st, I mean, we have the Super Bowl of Christianity. I mean, Daytona 500 for Jesus, man. I mean, this is it. It doesn't get any better than this. I mean, think about that. And we have an opportunity staring at us. And people that we work with and people in our schools and extended family. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that, man, people will come to church on Easter and they'll come to church on Christmas. You know, the CEO crowd, Christmas, Easter only people, you know, it's they'll come to church a couple times a year, maybe on Mama's Day. But, I mean, that's it. And so this is a one-shot deal where we have the opportunity to capitalize and to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we've gone all out, man, to give you yard signs and to put tickets in your hands. That's why we're doing four services. We were talking a couple weeks ago as we were planning out some things as a staff. We were looking back just in our really just over the last few years in our church. And, you know, it's easy sometimes, to be honest with you, just, you know, talking about limitations. You know, it's easy sometimes to kind of focus in on the limitations of even as a church, you know, as a pastor. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, you know, we don't have enough parking, and you know, we don't have the freedom to do a lot of the things that we need to do, or we could do, we should do to reach more and more people. I mean, there are restrictions that our landlord and the shopping center has placed on us, you know, as a church. There's just those limitations and things that kind of sometimes can put a cap or a lid on how big we can get, or what we can do, or you know, how many people we can reach, and so all of these kind of things. And you know, we just thought, well, let's take a lemon and turn it into some lemonade here, and rather than talking about what we can't do, let's start talking about what we can do. And if that means we need to adjust our service times and add more services, well, man, let's do whatever it takes. And so we begin to strategize and pray through this, and that's the reason why we've given you four opportunities to be able to reach out the friends and people at work and people in your family, to invite them to be a part of something that we honestly believe is going to be a life-changing experience for them. And so that's the reason why, listen, we have to take off the lid, we have to remove the limitations, and we have to see the greater cause. Man, we got to be motivated with this opportunity to reach people who are far from God, who matter to God. And because they matter to God, man, they ought to matter to us. And with that alone, we ought to be motivated to do whatever it takes to reach people. Amen. Daylight savings time hadn't worked its way out with you guys yet, has it? All right, I feel you. Third thing we learn is that David not only had an opportunity mindset, and not only was he motivated with the cause, but this is awesome, he made the most of it. He made the most of the situation. You know, it's been said the greatest risk in life is not taking one. And just let that sink in for just a moment. The greatest risk in life is not taking one. And when you frame your world with a mindset of limitation, again, you're timid, you're apprehensive, you're conservative, and you see the limitations. And because you're focused on the limitations, you're paralyzed. Because David had an opportunity mindset. And because he saw the opportunity rather than the limitations. And because he saw how big his God was, and he believed with all of his heart that God would empower him to do what he alone couldn't do. And because he was driven and motivated with his deep conviction in this cause to propel him to move forward, it gave him the confidence to step out in faith and to take a risk that nobody else was willing to take. And one of the things I always try to challenge our staff with, and things I'm going to challenge you with, and when it comes to making an impact, listen, to reach people that no one else is reaching, we got to do things that nobody else is doing. And you know what I love about change? Most people don't like change. I thrive on change. I love change. And the reason why is because change always brings about opportunity. So we have to be willing to step outside the box, take a risk, embrace change, and move forward in faith, trusting God to be God in our life, to give us the confidence to do what we alone can't do, and to make the most of the opportunities that are all around us. So what did David do? 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. Here's what he said. He said, "Don't worry about this Philistine. David told Saul, I'll go fight him." So you have all these big soldiers that are all prepared. They're wearing their army. I mean, they're in position. I mean, they got their weapons in their hand. And rather than being bold and confident and being opportunity-minded to go forward to fight for the cause, no, they were timid. They were terrified. They were paralyzed by their fear. And David, this young shepherd boy who comes down with a few supplies, and he overhears this giant talking trash and defying their God and defying his people. He said, "Are you guys going to sit here and listen to this and let him take control? Are you going to sit here and let this guy demean you and humiliate you and embarrass our God?" He said, "I'll take him." And that's exactly what he did. And he stood firm, and he had the confidence because he knew who his God was. And he stood firm in confidence because he thought to himself, "Man, God used me. I remember when I took out the bear, and I remember when I took out the lion. And man, the same God that helped me with that, he'll help me take down this bonehead." And he went out there in faith. And guess what? He made the most of what he had. I love what verse 40 says. It says, "He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. And then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine." You know what's awesome about that? What I love about that is that David simply knew who he was and knew who he wasn't. He was kind of comfortable in his own skin, so to speak. He wasn't trying to be something that he wasn't. He wasn't trying to be somebody that he wasn't from the standpoint of, you know, this big military person. No, he was just a young boy. Even though King Saul, after he heard David, said, I'll go take this guy out. Even King Saul tried to offer him pieces of his armor, and he tried some of it on. He just thought, "Man, I don't feel right." He stuck with what he knew, and that was his staff, his slingshot, and he took some stones, and he went out there and he made the most of what he had to accomplish the greater purposes of God. And you know, so often I meet and talk with people who will often say, "You know, I really appreciate what these people do, but I just don't know that I can do that." Or, you know, I'm always encouraged and inspired when I hear these people's stories about, you know, them growing in their faith and growing spiritually and reading their Bible and doing this and the ministry that they're involved in and the impact that they're making. And that's just not me. And often we'll, you know, hear people say, "You know, I'd love to be able to serve and volunteer more of my time. And, you know, I'd love to be able to kind of fulfill a greater purpose or live somewhat of a life of significance where I just feel like my time is really being used to be counted for something," you know. And people will often think those thoughts, but yet they don't do those things. And often the reason why is because, again, they have a mindset of limitation rather than having a mindset of opportunity. And because they're paralyzed by fear and they're timid or they're apprehensive or maybe they're insecure, they lack the confidence, you know, they're a little bit more conservative and reserved, and they kind of sit back and they think, "Man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do more of that, or I wish I had this, or I wish I had that." But what we don't realize is that God has given you everything you need. And all you have to do is use what God has given you and trust him to be big enough and trust him to be God to do what you alone can't do. I love what what we learn in the Old Testament where Elisha, he approached this widow who was being pursued by creditors, and they were getting ready to come and take her boys, and she was getting ready to lose everything that she had. And Elisha came to her, and he said, what's in your house? And she said, well, I have a jar of oil. And he said, well, bring me that jar. And he said, go get all the other jars and begin filling them up. And suddenly, God took what she had, one jar, and multiplied it. And it became an abundant supply to the point that not only was she able to pay off all of her creditors, but she had resources left over to take care of her and her boys and her household. But Elisha simply asked the question, what's that in your house? God asked Moses the same similar type of question when Moses stood before God, and God said, I want you to free my people from slavery, from the Egyptian bondage. And Moses had this mindset of limitation, and God said, Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses said, this is my staff. It's a staff, God. And God simply took what he had, a shepherd's staff, and used it to become the rod of God, and he saw the waters of the Red Sea part. I love the story of the little boy who just had a little snack lunch, had a little Scooby snack left over, you know, from his little small lunch and his little brown bag. And this massive crowd of people that day were without food, sun's going down, and all of a sudden, everybody else saw limitation. Jesus saw an incredible opportunity and asked for the little boy to come over. And he asked his disciples, he said, what is in your sphere? What's around you? And the disciples said, well, there's a little boy here that's got two fish and five loaves. And Jesus said, bring it to me. And Jesus suddenly took what the little boy had, and it became more than enough. It became an abundant supply that God used and multiplied to feed not only 5,000 people, but beyond that. And you know, I just believe that so often, if we're not careful, we can put limitations on God. Hear my heart on this. We're always trying to challenge people to engage in ministry. And it's not because we want something from you. It's because we want something for you. We know what you're going to get out of it when you find a ministry. That's why 301 is so important to us, where people can find a ministry and engage in it. And that's why today at 4 o'clock and tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m., man, we're going to be training our guest services ministry teams. And for those of you who say, man, I'd like to do that, well, come today at 4, come tomorrow evening at 6, and we'll equip you and show you and teach you and train you everything you need to know to use and to leverage your time. Man, just to make the most of what you got. Man, time is life's greatest gift. It's our most precious commodity. And you say, well, yeah, that's my problem. I lack time. No, you find time to do the things you want to do. And so at the end of the day, you've got to make the most of what you got. Life's too short to spend all of your time out on the lake, or to spend all your time up in the mountains, or spend all your time doing whatever. Man, we have to take advantage of the moment and make the most of what we got and leverage our time in order to make a difference in the lives of people. Let God multiply your time. You give him what you got and he'll multiply it. That's why we challenge people to give. It's not because we want something from you. It's because we want something for you. We want God's favor and blessings to be upon your life. But you can't have that and receive. God won't bless unblessable behavior. Amen. We have to be willing to give and trust him to be God. We have to give him what we got. You say, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to give. Why put a limitation on God? When you say, I can't afford to give, you've just sealed it. You just put a cap. A limit. You have just put a limitation financially on your life by saying, I can't afford to give. That's why Malachi teaches us in Malachi 3:10, man, God said, just bring it to me and then watch what I can do. I will give back to you in such a way, I will open up the windows of heaven in such a way that you won't even have room enough to contain it. Why live your life contained? Man, we don't have a containment God. We have an unlimited God. Use what you got. Give what you got. Man, let's make the most of it. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. watch what God will do. Verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. And David ran, I love this, cut off his head. And he killed him. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and they ran. Why? Because they began to see their limitation. You see, if God is for us, then who in the world can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Man, God can empower you to do what you alone can't do. He just wants us to step out and take a risk and trust him to meet our needs and to empower us to live our lives in victory rather than defeat. And that's the reason why we're celebrating Easter here in a couple of weeks, because we serve a risen Savior. And the same power that rose Jesus out of that grave, I'm here to tell you, can change your life, can change your marriage, can change your future, your destiny, your eternity. It can change you, and it can turn your limitations into opportunities you never, ever thought.